ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My respected and beloved ulama, elders and brothers, this ayat of the Quran Kareem which was recited is heard on practically every Jum'ah in the second khutbah. Mufassireen have stated that from the era of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, who was known as Umar al-Thani, from that era onwards the khutaba, the khatibs, had included this as part of the second khutbah. And ever since then up to this day we will hear, and perhaps we hear it on 52 weeks of the year. And if sometimes we just make an assessment that if we have been attending the Jum'ah for at least 10 years in our life, then we perhaps have heard this ayah over 520 times. What is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah that it holds such a position as far as the khutbah is concerned? And even to a greater extent, when one goes into the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one will notice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on various occasions recited this ayah as a means of da'wah towards Islam. Aktham ibn Sayfi radiallahu ta'ala an was a leader amongst his people. When he had heard about the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the thought had occurred to his heart that whatever the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, from that little information that had filtered through to him, it has to be haqq and it has to be the truth. Hence he decides to undertake a journey to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and together with that to assess the truth about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, when he proposed this to his tribesmen, they all were of the opinion that he himself should not go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather he sends two people to Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nonetheless, these two were sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on meeting him, the very first question they asked is, Man anta wa ma anta? Who are you and what are you? To the first part of the question, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi salatu was salam responded to the second part of the question, that I am the abd, I am the servant of Allah, and I am the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And immediately thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reads this ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. When these two heard this ayah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately they begged Rabbi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite the ayah again and again, so that they could memorize the words of this ayah And then they left immediately to Ibn Sayfi radiallahu ta'ala an, and they presented to him the actual scenario that had taken place in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in their own words they explained that when we asked him who he is, he merely said, "I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," and he did not go into his lineage. And our objective was to see how noble his lineage was, to ascertain his nobility. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not go into the details of his lineage. But they said on the second part of the question, when we asked, who are you? Immediately he responded that he is the Abd, the servant and the Rasul of Allah. And immediately thereafter, he explained to us the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Aktham ibn Sayfi radiallahu ta'ala anhu hears this ayat of the Quran Kareem, immediately he brings iman. Not only does he bring iman, but he travels to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He accepts iman and Islam, and his whole tribe becomes Muslims. Respected and dear friends, this is that ayah that we hear most often. Another Sahabi, Hazrat Usman ibn Maz'un radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he explains that when I accepted Islam and iman, then there were some reservations in my heart regarding this beautiful deen. However, on one occasion, I sat in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the effects of wahi dawned upon him. And after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this ayah, "Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan," till the end. And he said, ever since then, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not only embedded in my heart, but there was no being and no person I loved more on this earth than the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes the thought occurs to an individual that when one's mu'taqideen, when somebody has some kind of faith within a person, then of course he may be biased in his decision. But if you look at this ayah, and if you look at a great enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Walid ibn Mughira, a person whom Allah ta'ala has cursed in the Quran Kareem also, we cannot go into the details of that. But when he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recite this particular ayah of the Quran Kareem, he said, "Wallahi inna lahu la halawa, wa inna lahu la talawa, wa inna aslahu la muriq, wa a'lahu la musmir, wa ma hadha bi qawli bashar." That these words are the most sweetest words ever. And these are the most gracious words that I have ever heard. And he himself describes these words in his own words, and he explains that the roots of these words are so firm that they will bring about leaves on a tree, and together with that the branches will bring out its fruit. But yet he did not accept this beautiful deen. But at the same time, respected and dear friends, when an enemy gives evidence about a person or a thing or a kalam, then we can understand the importance of that kalam. If you go further into this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us three commandments in this ayah, and together with that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has prohibited us from three things. Mawlana Ubaidullah Sindhi rahmatullah alayhi has explained that this ayah has six aspects, and these six aspects are such that if one understands the personality that he's speaking, that he was that person for 45 years, he taught the tafsir of the Quran Kareem. 7,000 ulama had learned tafsir from him. And after he left the Indo-Pak subcontinent, he went to Russia with an explicit mission of teaching the Quran Kareem. And then from there he went to Turkey. At that time, the Turkish, the rulers and the people of Turkey were already impressed and obsessed with Westernism and secularism. And when he observed the situation and the condition there, he tried to teach them this ayat of the Quran Kareem, but there was no single person at that particular time that paid heed. From there he makes a safar to the Haram e Makkah. He remains in the Haram e Makkah for 12 years, and after 12 years he taught the Quran Kareem and the tafsir of the Quran. He goes back home and he explains to his people that at this old age no person would want to leave the Haram e Makkah. But the only reason why I left the Haram-e-Makkah is to come back to you to teach you this ayat of the Quran-e-Kareem. Very, very briefly, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala explains, Allah ta'ala commands us in this ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. The very first command that Allah ta'ala has given us is that of adl, that of justice. Now usually when we understand the term justice, our minds will drift towards a court, towards a judge, a person on a bench, where we will have a claimant, a plaintiff and a defendant. And that is that little definition that we have understood of justice. But when we look at justice in the context of this ayah, and if you understand justice as it has been explained by Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, then we will begin to understand that justice is not just confined to a court. The great commentator of the Quran Kareem, Ibn Arabi, rahmatullah alayhi, has explained that justice entails three aspects. The first is justice bain al-abdi wa rabb, between a servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when we open the tafasir, the commentaries of the Quran Kareem, we will find like in Jalalain, the commentator has explained, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَالْإِنصَافِ. He has explained that this justice means tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that needs to be embedded in the heart of an individual. The great sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who undisputedly was known as the Ra'isul Mufassir, who was known as the leader of all the commentators of the Quran Kareem, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was once questioned about the meaning of adl in this ayah. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean when Allah speaks about adl, when Allah speaks about justice? He replies, shahadatu Allah ilaha illallah. That the very first, the very prerequisite of justice is this, that a person brings iman and the shahadat in that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is one. So when we speak about this ayah, then as in the words of some ulama, they say it very basically means this, Allah ko mano or Allah se mango. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, put your yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and ask only from Allah Rabbul Izzat. Put your tawakkul and praise, your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and turn your gaze away from anybody else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is then only that a servant is being just to Allah Rabbul Izzat. The second part of it is bain al abdi wal nafs, that between a person and himself, he needs to be just with himself, in that he saves himself from every kind and every type of difficulty. Anything that will bring him harm in this material world and at the same time harm in the hereafter. And together with that, it is bain al-abdi wal-abd. It is justice between one individual and another, that we fulfill the rights of each and every individual. And this has been most beautifully portrayed in a riwayat of Bukhari Sharif. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi narrates an occasion, an incident in the life of two sahaba. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we all know that Hazrat Salman had hailed from Iran. He came and he accepted iman at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are familiar with the Aqtul Muakhat, that pledge of brotherhood that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, form this pledge that a person that had came to Medina, a muhajir, a madani, a person that came to Medina and the ansar, the person of Medina, were made brothers, although they may have not been blood brothers, whereby they shared whatever resources they had. Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was made the brother of a great sahabi, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now this riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi narrates this incident, and this incident obviously, as we will see, had occurred before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the law of hijab and parda. Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu would go into the house of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he would observe that Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu's wife was never in a condition where she had beautified herself or cared for herself to show herself out to her husband. And this created great concern to Hazrat Salman, and at this stage it is very, very clear that this hukam is for the house, within the house, not out of the house. Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his heart, that here is a person that has given me half his resources, and this is the condition of his wife. So how should I deal with this? Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion, he sees Hazrat Abu Darda, and he explains to Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that this is the situation. In this riwayat, Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to the wife of Abu Darda, and then he confronts her and he asks her, that why is it that you are in this situation? She replies that Abu Darda is such a personality that his heart is disinclined from this material world. And his heart has been inclined towards the hereafter. He exerts himself in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, obviously, nothing of this world, not even his wife, is of much interest to him. Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu addresses Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he says, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّى وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّى وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّا فَأَعْتِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍّ حَقَّا. That number one is, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has a right upon you, and that is the supreme right. Secondly, is that your nafs, you yourself have a right over yourself. Your body has a right over you. Your limbs and your organs have a right over you. And together with that, your wife also has a right over you. And commentators explain that it is not only confined to the wife, but to the rest of mankind and each and every person that we would interact with. فَأَعْتِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقًّا. So, O Abu Darda, give each and every person the due right. Fulfill your hukuk and right to Allah. Fulfill your hukuk and right to your body. Fulfill your hukuk, the hukuk and right to your wife and each and every other person. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he puts this whole case in front of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu has spoken the truth. So respected and dear friends, when we speak about this adl and we speak about this justice, then adl and justice demands that first it is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every action of ours, starting from our iman, our priorities, our yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter ourselves and each and every one of makhluk. In the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the second command, wal ihsan. Ihsan in Arabic very basically means to do good. Here again, to do good has two aspects. One is to do good in your ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second is to do good to the rest of mankind. Like in the hadith, when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mal ihsan? What is ihsan? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, an ta'budallaha ka'annaka tara, fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yaraak. That you make ibadat of Allah, you worship Allah in such a state, in such a condition, that you can see and you can witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you cannot see Allah, then remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Our time is up. But to sum this entire aspect of ihsan, an incident had taken place in the life of a great sheikh, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was a renowned sheikh and a spiritual mentor of his time. Great ulama like Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, Daman Barakatuhum, and others have taken birth to such a great personality. On one occasion, as he was sitting in his majlis, a person comes to him and the person exclaims, Hazrat, I have reached the darja of ihsan. In that, when I perform my salah, then I become aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Dr. Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi immediately made mubarakbadi for this person, congratulated him, and explained to him that this is a very high degree, and this is exactly what the whole institute of tasawwuf, the whole institute of tazkiyatun nafs, and the whole of deen is based upon, that man becomes aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Dr. Saab says, my brother, I want to ask you one simple question. That do you get this state of huzur and istihzar? Are you aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only in your salah? What about out of salah? When you deal with your wife, when you deal with your children, when you deal and interact with the rest of mankind, he replied, is that also ihsan? So So Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi asked him, is that not also ibadat? That in every aspect of your life, you need to become aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In conclusion, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has brought about a very great correlation between these two. He says, adl is this, that you give a person his due right and you take your right that is due to you. Ihsan is this, that you give more to others and you take less from them. And this is very basically the first two commandments of Allah, wa ita'i dhil qurba, that you give to your family members their rights and each and every one that is close to you. Wa yanha anil fahsha, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from immoral deeds, indecent deeds, wal munkar, everything that is evil, wal bagh, and that is zulm and oppression. Ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has advised you so that you may take heed. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq, and Allah give each one of us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.